Well, today we will continue Daniel chapter 9. And on a brief review, what this first three-fourths of this chapter is about is Daniel has been reading, I'm assuming many books, but primarily he's run across the prophecy of Jeremiah that had to do with this Babylonian captivity of the Israelites. And God had told Jeremiah from Jeremiah 29:10 that they will be in this Babylonian captivity for 70 years and then they will be returned back to Jerusalem. Okay, that's good news. But Daniel has a major concern, and that's what this prayer is about. Daniel is afraid because the Israelites, he's been here with these Israelites for these nearly 70 years. Oh, and also he did the calculation. The 70 years is about up. And now, of course, they are no longer under the Babylonian Empire because it has fallen now. So they're under the Medo-Persian Empire at this time. And so, but this 70 years is about up. And the Israelites have not repented. They have not learned their lesson. They are still transgressing against God. And Daniel has a concern that because of this non-repentance, that God is not going to be able to return them to Jerusalem. And this is a major concern because God has sent him either directly or through like King Nebuchadnezzar in his dream and all, that God is going to establish his kingdom in the days of whatever kingdom will follow the Greek Empire. He knows that much at this point in Daniel 9. He didn't always know everything up to that as far as who, but he knew there was going to be these four empires, and in the days of this fourth empire, God was going to establish a kingdom that would never be destroyed. And then from Daniel 8, everybody, he knew the Babylonian Empire, then he knew the Medo-Persians were going to follow it, and then the Greek Empire, which is still future to this Daniel 8 and 9, it's future to the whole book, but it's already been named, that the Greek Empire will follow the Medo-Persian. And the Roman Empire is never named by name, but it's whatever kingdom followed the Greek Empire, God is going to establish his kingdom. Well, for that to happen, they're going to have to be back in Jerusalem. They're going to have to rebuild the temple because it is totally obliterated, all of Jerusalem, but the temple primarily is of huge concern. They are no longer, of course, the sacrifices have been suspended for this 70 years. They've got to rebuild the temple, get the sacrifices going again, and then the Messiah will have to return and then establish God's kingdom. Not return, will have to appear from Daniel's standpoint. It will have to come, and then God's kingdom will have to be established. So, but if they are never able to be returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, none of this will happen. That is Daniel's concern due to their unwillingness to repent. God won't be able to start this process. So Daniel is giving a heartfelt, earnest, heart-rending prayer to please return us to Jerusalem, even though we are still sinful and unrighteous and disobedient to you. Now, in verse 9 that we did cover last week, Daniel says, "To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him." So this is a major point in this prayer that he's telling God. we have rebelled against you, and we do not deserve to go back to Jerusalem. Daniel realized that. But it is because of God's mercy and forgiveness that it is still possible. So now I'm going to pick up where on the verse we left off last week on verse 11. And I'm going to read that, and then there's a reference here of two passages in the Pentateuch from the Law of Moses, and then I'm going to read one of those passages. But Daniel 9:11, yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. So, because they have disobeyed God's voice, now the curse and the oath that was written in the law of Moses has been poured out on them. Okay, and there's two passages here that Kaufman referenced that this is referring to, and the two passages are first Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning in 15 and following. I'm not going to read that one, but that's Deuteronomy 28, 15 and following. But the one I'm going to read is Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, starting in verse 14. Leviticus 26:14, and we'll read through 17. Okay, this is God telling the Israelites through Moses. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I will also do this to you. Okay, so this is what has been poured out upon these Israelites because of this disobedience. Verse 16. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause the sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Here, 17 specifically, this is what Daniel is and the Israelites have been going through in this Babylonian captivity for this nearing 70 years. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. And that's when Babylon defeated and conquered Jerusalem. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. So your enemies will defeat you, and you will be reigned. Your enemies will reign over you. So that is a key verse of what Daniel is referring to. That now that we have transgressed your voice, now the curse and the oath that was written in the law of Moses has been poured out on us because we have sinned against God. Okay, and now this is also referenced again in verse 13 about what's written in the law of Moses and it has been poured out on us, and now we're facing the consequences of this sin. Okay, verse 12, are any questions or comments on anything up to this point? Verse 12 of Daniel 9, and he has confirmed his words, which spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. So this is the reference of the Babylonians and King Nebuchadnezzar totally obliterating Jerusalem. And verse 13, very similar to verse 11 about the consequences of this sin. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. So, they have not been praying, or at least even diligently enough, but probably the people haven't been praying at all, that they might turn from their sinfulness so that they could be returned to Jerusalem. So that was something that Daniel saw as severely lacking and in a problem here. Verse 14. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. So, this is repeated several times that it is God is the righteous, God is the merciful one, and they... If God decides to return them to Jerusalem, it's not because of the Israelites' righteousness, it's because of God's righteousness. And that's another key point from this prayer of Daniel 9. Verse 15. I'll read what Kaufman says here as far as with Jerusalem in ruins. Even the most casual attention to this prayer reveals that Daniel's concern was centered upon the devastated state of the city of Jerusalem. Here in the prayer, Daniel said, under the whole heaven, he is referencing the ruthless destruction that had been poured out upon Jerusalem. Later in verse 16, Daniel again references the ruins of Jerusalem and your holy mountain, which is a Jewish designation of the destroyed temple. Okay, verse 15. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. So, this is a major problem. Now, he is referencing right here, you brought the people out of Egypt. And so he is petitioning God, as you brought our people out of Egypt, please bring us out of Babylon. And this now, Medo-Persian captivity, but ultimately this, bring us out of this land of Babylon and return us to Jerusalem as you returned the Israelites from Egypt back to the promised land. So please return us. So that is what this prayer is about. Please return us, be able to return us, not because of any righteousness on our part, because we have not held up our end of the bargain. So we know that we are not owed this. You do not have to keep this covenant now because of our disobedience. But he's petitioning, please return us. Any questions or comments on this?